with eating popcorn.
Computer systems are offline.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Pat and AJ Podcast.
Well, because they got great banter. They jib-jab, 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 jib-jab.
Pat and AJ.
You know, I feel like the conversation we've been having in the last 5 minutes is a lot more interesting than the shit they're talking about on the radio. Just moronic commentary and stupid sound effects, and it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast.
Let me get one more handful in. Okay, just one more.
This is obnoxious.
I'm really hungry.
Fucking shoveling popcorn.
I just got home from dance and dinner is done. And
got a power load, got a protein load.
But we're gonna record. If you haven't tried this Lesser Evil popcorn, oh my god!
What is it, Lesser Evil?
Lesser Evil. My personal favorite is Himalayan Gold. I know they have a couple of other flavors. It is so good. It's like, you know, clean snack, simple acts, great. It's really good, and you should eat it.
I would have. Figure popcorn. I mean, you can't really fuck up popcorn.
Yes, you can.
Or make it bad. I mean, we can make everything bad.
I love popcorn.
You.
It's like my favorite snack. And I've had some bad, like, generic popcorns. It's called Lesser Evil. That is a non-paid endorsement because nobody will ever pay us for doing this podcast. It's so good.
So if you ever hear us pitching, like, energy drinks or something, all of a sudden we're like, hey, everybody, you need to get fucking Joe Mama's fucking energy drink. You know that they're paying us. The old popcorn there. I'm trying to think. Just to start off the bat, popcorn. Didn't see a lot of that in London.
No.
Not a lot of corn. Call that maize. A
lot of crisps.
Call that maize over here on North America.
A lot of crisps. Not a lot of popcorn. Don't worry, our dog will be occupied because he's licking the butthole the entire podcast.
Whose butthole is he licking?
My friend, Jenny, who was our house sitter and dog sitter while we were gone, got him this amazing little calming toy, and she calls it the butthole because the butthole. It looks like it's like a little treat inside a big rubber ball. And he says it just looks like he's licking a butthole.
It does look like a butthole.
But it works. He's been using it.
Well, welcome on in, folks. That's right. Pat and AJ Podcast back in action for your end of summer, I guess. 276th episode of the Pat and AJ Podcast. And AJ has.
I have popcorn in my teeth.
Popcorn in your teeth.
Hey, shout outs to Nicole, my friend who is moving from Tucson.
Shout out.
To Colorado and said she looks forward to the podcast. So love you. Going to miss you. And Curly, your dog.
So
we met at the dog park.
Real quick before we move on, this is funny with AJ and the teeth thing. I felt like she wanted to get some kind of spike. She was ragging on our son over his oral hygiene and his flossing, and then you guys went to the dentist today. And he got a clean bill of health.
Little shit.
And I feel like you were upset that he got a clean bill of health.
No, I was actually
like
thrilled.
Most parents are like happy. You're like, happy.
I was thrilled. It's just because we wanted to
teach a lesson, didn't you?
Because he's had so much dental work done in the last couple of years. I'm so tired of paying for it. I'm like, and we'll get to this. We were in London and I had bought him. He uses the floss picks. And I had bought him an entire travel bag full of these floss picks. And I look in the toiletry bag, like the last day of our vacation. I'm like, why is this still sealed shut? He goes, I haven't been flossing pretty much all summer. And I was like, get the hell out of here. Are you serious? I bought these floss picks just for you. And yeah, he goes to the dentist. He said he did get a little bit of blowback on the flossing thing.
Did he?
Yeah, I guess the hygienist said his gums were angry, which just means he hasn't been flossing. Yeah, no cavities. No, I don't want him to have cavities. Yeah, and I totally said he can throw it back in my face. Totally acceptable.
Well, we are back from our big vacation across the pond. We hopped, skipped, and jumped our way all the way to London, England for a week, and then managed to row across another body of water, find ourselves in Ireland, and somehow now I'm back here in the Sonoran Desert.
It's so weird. We don't feel like we went. We said the whole trip felt like a fever dream, and we feel like we're right back where we started, and we never actually went. Neither of us have been overseas before, ever.
I say this line, and it's take it as jokingly or serious as you want, but it's an actual quote, but it's from Keith Richards, and it's what keeps the tour on the road? And he says, cocaine. And I don't think, you know, you can really figure that part out until maybe you have to fly 10 hours from one continent to another continent, and then you show up and you got to do something and go somewhere else. And obviously, we're not even asked to be on stage, but we did blow this place for 2 weeks. We've
been planning this for years.
Yeah, this has years. Been a four-year adventure. 4 years ago, when we were still in Flint, Michigan, as the world was crumbling beneath us with the pandemic, we were making moves and saying, well, we're going to move out here to Arizona. It's going to be a big move. Our son is going to have to make a lot of sacrifices as far as, you know, geography. And what can we do for you as a carrot on a stick? And the kid, I don't know how, came up with, well, it'd be cool to go to, like, Europe. And we're like, well, where? Well, like, London. And
which is a place we've both wanted to go.
Oh, I mean, who does? I mean, I feel like London is easy. I feel like London is up there with, like, you know, I don't know, it's, Paris.
Yeah, it's dipping your toes in the European pool.
Yeah, right? Like, it's, everyone
knows they speak English there.
They do.
It's probably one of the closest to our culture.
I say it's very much just our cousin.
By the way,
it's not like going to Moscow and you got to know a whole new language.
How misleading is geography? We get on the plane.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those fancy, it's got, you know, the three actual rows of seats with the middle.
Oh, yeah. We were on the big plane.
Yeah.
We took a fucking direct. By the way, shout out American Airlines and British Airways.
Yeah, they have this, like, partnership.
Look at that. They work together. Brits and Americans working together. We flew an American Airlines big old jumbo jet direct
from Phoenix to London.
We step out of a plane in Phoenix, Arizona.
And we get off in London.
I got off my plane in London Heathrow.
You get on the plane and, you know, it's got the little TV in the back of the seat. It feels all fancy, even though you're sitting in, like, the cheap seats.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is fancy.
Yeah. But
it's way better than a Spirit flight to Miami.
Oh, God. All right. Spirit might be, like, on the outs. Did you hear that today? They told their investors, they're like, looking good.
Did we really need the news to tell us?
Not really.
That?
I was not. It was the least surprising news today. But you get on the plane and they have a little TV in the back, and you can see the map of where the flight is.
Yeah, sure.
You know, with the giant plane that's half the size of the country, but it's still flying across the world. Yeah. You know, when we look at maps, we only see it flat, or we only see, like, the front of one side of the earth.
Yeah.
When it's, holy shit.
Three-dimensional when you're spinning
London
around.
Is on the other side of the planet. And I'm just saying, I'm like, God damn, this is farther than I thought.
Oh, fuck, I'm on the other side of the But there's
I'm used to seeing a flat map where there's, like, a direct line between, you know, Phoenix and London, and there really isn't. It was crazy far.
It was an experience, and we're going to probably use this podcast, because we've already said there's so much to talk about that we're going to chop it up, where this one will be about London, the next one will be about Ireland, and then we got a special one after that called The Follies of Vacation. But, we ended up in London for a week. How did you, I mean, just give me.
Let me just tell you my first observation that I will tell anybody who will listen.
Give an observation.
One of the things we were not concerned about, I mean, it's not like we're going to starve to death. There are actual starving people on this planet. We're not two of them, three of them. But, you know, everybody, I had heard that the food is not that great.
Oh, yeah, that is a big common misconception.
Yeah, so we were just thinking, okay, well, you know, we'll go out to eat and just order whatever, and that's fine. Holy shit.
Fire.
Eat your way through London, guys.
London is, I mean, essentially London is like New York City for England, because it's so multicultural.
The food everywhere is incredible.
Incredible
food. You can get anything you want. Anywhere you can get any ethnicity of food,
and that, you know what, that was the funny part. As we ate our way through London, and don't get me wrong, we ate very traditional British meals and pubs and all that, but, you know, we had some banging like Italian dinners.
Yeah.
Why? Because, well, they came from Italy. They're, you know, like,
there was
you,
an actual family from Italy that owned the restaurant.
Yeah, you forget about how multicultural their food scene is as well.
But then even the, you know, like the cultural food, you know, like the stew and the fish and chips, that stuff was so fucking good. Yeah, pardon my French.
I didn't eat by the way, this is from my friend Mike, who never listens to the podcast.
Shout out, Mike.
Amount of fish and chips I ate?
Zero.
Not once. I had a buddy. He's like, oh, fish and chips every day, day, fish and chips. I'm like, nope, I'm going to eat my way around the menu. Didn't touch it once.
I mean, everything they give you is so, it's so well cooked and it's so fresh. And like, I think, you know, the one day I ordered, like, it was like corn fed chicken with, you know, whatever puree and whatever. It came in like a pastry sandwich.
I have with a picture matched, of that.
Yes, I do too. And I'm just like, holy shit, this is so good. I will say, I think I ate fish and chips twice. I went once in London and once in Ireland.
I was going to say, you didn't lean in as much as I thought you would. The food, I was
expecting all the other food to be kind of like, meow, meow, so I'll just eat. Let me tell you though, if you go over there and eat fish and chips every day,
you will be missing out.
No, you're not only are you missing out, your butt will explode because it's so good, but it's greasy, good, fried, and your booty will be on fire. So just don't do that.
Yeah, the food was fire. We did a lot of reservations. London is a town that runs on reservations. Yeah. It runs on appointments. So, you know, if
you really can't just walk in most places. I mean,
anywhere.
The super casual places, yes. But I mean, even anything that's like above casual, as in like sit down, the pubs, you need a reservation.
Yeah. So we had a lot of reservations at a lot of really great places. Like I said,
look at the food pictures in my phone. I took pictures of all the food.
From traditional English spots, which I have to give a shout out to my wife, everyone. Let's all say yay, AJ.
Why?
She got us into the Devonshire. The Devonshire is currently the hottest restaurant pub in Soho, London. And it is renowned for their steaks and seafood and having the best pint of Guinness in England.
I had a half lobster that was literally shredded into the lobster shell. It was so good. And I mean, that's not even their specialty there. Their specialty is like the meats.
I had some dude sitting next to me. He's like a fucking chimney sweep, man. Like this guy was like chucking wood into his fire and making coals and chucking the once the wood turns into coals, he puts the coals on the grill and then he puts the meats on the grill. It was amazing. Listen. This is why we have angry British chefs who come to America to yell on reality TV.
They should yell at us. Holy hell.
Because they got some good fucking food over there.
I heard a lot of arguments that the food was bland, which I didn't agree with, except for, like, I don't need
you were a little salt and peppery. Like,
well, for, yeah.
You were the first.
I don't put salt and pepper on anything.
For the first time ever, because my ex-wife, God bless her, she used to like grab the salt first thing. Like no matter where we were,
doesn't even
salt
taste it.
Yeah. Went on things.
No, the only things I put salt and pepper on are corn and scrambled eggs in my life.
And you don't even do salt. You do your crazy salt.
Which is like a mix of a bunch of different spices.
Shit, yeah.
The only thing I will say was it wasn't bland even. I felt like the meat I had, and I don't eat a lot of meat, was a little bit, it could have used a little more salt. But I mean, I didn't eat a lot of red meat, so.
Yeah, see, I thought everything was seasoned really well.
I mean,
well.
It doesn't matter. I don't think we ate at any place that was disappointing.
Yeah, you'll have, I mean, and listen, if you want to, and I know there are, and I'm not judging you for it, but if you are someone that goes, man, I'm worried about my stomach, yes, you can find your globally franchised favorites across the pond, which is also fun because they have different shit than they have here.
McDonald's,
you know,
Burger King.
You know who we're talking about.
Lots of KFCs. We saw KFC. Papa John's. They have a couple of places that they claim are like American, except they're like
off brand.
It's like the generic version. Like they're like, oh, you know, American food at Eddie Rockets. I'm like, what the hell is Eddie Rockets? Oh, you mean Johnny Rockets? But you didn't want to pay for the
I will say
trademark.
I felt very Southside Chicago because growing up on the South Side, we were the land of copyright infringement, and all these Europeans would be like, why you need Nike? I sell you Mikey.
There was a TK Maxx instead of a TJ Maxx.
And that's what I felt like. Yeah, we saw all the like one letter off, TK Maxx.
Yeah.
What was it? Mac Daddy's?
Yeah.
It wasn't McDonald's. It was Mac Daddy's.
It was impressive.
I'm like,
but if
for you guys, getting the off-brand.
If you really, you know, if you want to visit and you're afraid that you won't like the food, yes, you can get all the comforts of home. They do taste different, though. I mean, just be prepared.
It is just like, and I mean this, and I used to use it as a little, but like we had friends of ours come to our wedding in Las Vegas, and they left the strip to go to an Applebee's.
Yeah.
And you're okay, fine. Like
some of the best food in the world is here.
But that's fine. If Applebee's, yeah. if that makes you fucking happy, go get your riblets. I don't care.
So the first day we got there, we went to Hyde Park, which is like the biggest park in London. It's like an urban park. It's like Central Park.
I would say it's very comparable to Central Park.
We saw Kensington Gardens.
Which is attached to Hyde Park.
And then we saw Kensington Palace, which is where Princess Diana lived. And that was really cool. It was our first palace of the trip. So we're like, woo, this is kind of neat. Like it was really pretty. There's a statue of her like in the gardens there. It was really nice. I mean, we didn't have a lot of time there because we didn't have a tour or anything. We were just, it was close to our hotel, so we took a walk.
Yeah, we stayed at a hotel, a very cute European hotel. Shout out the Olympic House Hotel.
Oh, it was so cool.
Shout out to a nice Greek family that runs the Olympic House Hotel in London.
And it is like two blocks from Paddington Station.
Say it's right by Paddington for the tube, so you can get all over, and it's right by Hyde Park. You're in the middle of everything. It's a great spot. But yeah, this Hyde Park was like, I didn't realize that that the Hyde Park turned into the Kensington Gardens, and that Kensington Gardens then houses Kensington Palace.
Yeah.
Like I was not aware of all that. Like I'm following AJ and all of a sudden I'm seeing like, hey, here's
a palace. I didn't know either. I didn't know that Kensington Palace was right there until I started seeing signs and I'm like, holy shit, are you kidding? Like the palace is right here. So that was cool. And our hotel, listen, all the Instagram reels you see about traveling in Europe are true.
It's true.
You better suck it in, man, because it is.
You are a big American. Listen, you have many, many meats.
Even I can imagine even like smaller people. It's tight quarters everywhere. Our room at the Olympic House Hotel was, I think, average for London. It was hard to fit. There were two double beds.
There were.
And which was nice.
We got tight.
Were they? No, the second snuggly. Dylan's wasn't a double bed though, wasn't
no,
it?
No, Dylan's was a single.
So there was
they have really cool like the hotels are nutty because they're very different. You know, we're very uniform here. We're like, you want a single, you want a double, you want one, you want two. There, they have all these different options, and a majority of the ones we stayed in, I shit you not, like they knew they were families of three. They would have like a queen or whatever for two people.
Yeah.
And then they have a single.
I think the one we were on was a full size because my legs were hanging off the end.
But, you know, it was, yes, they were tight quarters.
It was if we didn't have any baggage with us, it would have been fine. But we had three giant.
Speak for yourself.
We had three full size bags with us, so it was a little tight.
And when she says we have three full size bags. Shut up,
we all had the same size bag.
What she means is she packs her bag. And then said, here's the rest of my stuff that I'm going to pack in your guys' bags.
I only packed one thing in each of your guys' bags, so be quiet. No, it's really cool. We were very lucky. Yeah. Another thing that you see on Instagram about Europe, air conditioning is not a thing.
No air conditioning.
It's becoming a thing because, all these heat waves keep happening. Like, they're not going away.
Is the climate changing?
Yeah, London is having a terrible heat wave this week. We made it by the skin of our teeth.
Yeah, we were, like, in the week when there was a little bit of an average summer.
Yeah,
you know, it's a swampy.
It's humid as hell.
It's a Midwest, like, I'm going to Chicago this weekend, and I... assume it's going to be very much the same.
It's right? Midwest humid, but the temp really was like, it was like 70 or 72 every day, which I guess for them is super hot, like warm. They're like, people are wearing like no clothes and I'm freezing. So now this week when it's like 90, people are literally dying. But we got a hotel room that had an air conditioning unit in it. Now it's only on, they'll only turn it on for 2 months of the year, July and August.
That's
on their website.
It says on the website. Do not expect air conditioning outside of the months of July and August.
And it's not like you can just adjust the thermostat in your room, like, you know, like a Marriott here.
It was awesome.
We're like, How does this work? So the first thing we realized is you have to have a room key, and this was universal.
Oh, this is, yeah, this is really neat.
This was universal between England and Ireland. You have to have a room key to turn on the power in the room. You have to insert your room key, and then you can turn on the TV and the lights.
Basically, as soon as you use your little tap-tap card, right, because we all use cards now, you tap into the room, boom, there'd be like a little slot once you're in the room to put your card in, and once you put the card in there,
everything turns on.
It powered everything.
Yeah, and when you leave the room, you're supposed to take the key out. Some places will only give you one key for that reason, because they don't want you leaving the power on.
There you go. I say it's keep electricity.
I mean, it was brilliant. It,
brilliant move.
Once you get used to it, it doesn't. It's not weird.
Tell them about this air conditioning. So we show up. We are in London. It is Midwest humid for a summer's day. Not terrible. I've been to Bonnaroo, so I'm no pansy.
And the Midwest is worse.
But,
yeah.
You know, it was a little swampy. We walk up into our room. We go, oh, boy, this is stuffy. What do we do now?
So we put the thing in the slot, and everything turns on. We thought that would also turn on the air conditioner.
Yeah.
We went over to the thermostat. We start pressing buttons. Nothing's happening. So we're like, I don't get it. Did we get a room with like busted air conditioning? And we call down to the front desk and they say, no, we turn it on and off for you and you have to pay by the day.
There you go.
Which really wasn't a big deal.
£10 a day, which I said, I will pay you £20 a day.
I mean, I didn't really care. I was like, it's fine.
I'm such an American when it comes to that. If there's anything that this big trip has taught me, of all my things, if there's one American nicety that I can't do with, it's climate control. Like, we have figured out how to keep climates at the perfect temperature. And out there, they're like, fuck it, you're hot or you're cold. Just deal with it.
And none of us sleep well when it's hot. Like
the second she said, hello, yes, oh, okay, air conditioning, £10. I go, fucking
cool.
Put it on my tab,
it
lady.
It could be worse. But so now, we paid for it.
The funny part is you have to call
the front desk. You have to call the front desk to
turn it on. So you call the front desk. You go, ring, ring, hello. You go, can you turn on the air conditioning at 306? Okay. And then they turn it on.
Oh, you remember our room number. Good for you.
I do. And that, because I called so many fucking times. And then it blasts and it doesn't turn off.
No, it doesn't turn off. And there's no temperature. There's no setting. It just blows cold air.
So it's either a meat locker. So then you're like, oh, I'm cold now. You're like, oh, it's so great. It was so hot out there.
And then by 3 o'clock in the morning, we're putting socks on.
Oh, I'm so cold. Oh, I'm so cold. Oh, call the front desk. And then you call the front desk. You're like, ring, ring. Hello? Can you turn off the air conditioning? Okay. Oh, it's so hot.
Well, and we were all... It's like 3:30 in the morning. You're like, do we really call the front desk right now? Is somebody there? It was so funny. But Pat was solid. I think almost every room had air conditioning that you booked throughout. Because we stayed in one hotel in London and multiple hotels in Ireland. And I think only a couple in Ireland didn't have
it was something,
AC. But we didn't need it in Ireland at all.
Yeah, no, Ireland was fine. I mean, I realized we were going at high summer tide, kind of, so to speak, because July, August, which is the traditional hottest months out there. So I said, well, fuck, we're going to need it because we're bougie Americans and we're used to, like, air conditioning. And I knew it's not a luxury, but yeah, you could tell, man, it definitely was not. So I had no problem paying that. What was it, £60 for the week?
I think
we ended
so,
up paying?
Yeah.
Cause we didn't use, remember there was one day when
we didn't use it at all. We didn't use it. We just opened the window. The first day we were there, well, the first day we went to Hyde Park, it was like an afternoon that we were there.
Yeah.
The actual first day we went to Buckingham Palace for a tour.
Oh, that's right.
Which was really cool.
I already forgot shit we did.
I just went through all the pictures with my mom's. We went to Buckingham Palace. It was strange because we didn't get to go like through, you know, the front gates that you see the pictures of and that big statue. That was kind of off limits.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were having a victory parade for their female soccer team because they just won some sort of championship.
Shout out the Lionesses.
Yes. And they were having the victory parade in front of Buckingham Palace, like down the mall. So to get to it, we had to enter from like a side, which you have to enter from the side door for the tour anyways, but you just couldn't get to that front area.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the Royal Mews, which is where they keep all the horses and the carriages. We got to see like the coronation carriage for Charles and Camilla. That was cool.
Yeah.
But
now, so hold on. So
we saw an art exhibit too.
Now, just so we went to London and here's all the royal stuff. We'll just knock it out. Buckingham Palace did it. Cool. Kensington Palace, which explain what that is.
It's a smaller palace where sometimes the royals live there.
But that's like Queen Elizabeth II's kind of.
I don't know who actually lives there now. I think the last one I heard was Princess Diana and a couple others, but like nobody lives anywhere full time. It's like they bounce between palaces.
So, you know, we went to Windsor because we know that the
that's queen, where the queen is buried.
Buried, and she grew up there. It, yeah. So we checked that out. We did the Tower of London.
We did.
And the Tower of London is not a...
Just one tower.
Is, well, it's not
a compound.
A palace, right? It's like a thing. It's a... That was one, the Tower of London, I'm not quite sure what it was, but I know I went there.
I was slightly disappointed, and I don't know what I was expecting, but like, I think we just did it wrong because we went.
we just did it wrong.
I think if we would have just gone to the tower, because it's right by Tower Bridge, that big famous blue bridge. Yeah, that's not London Bridge. London Bridge is boring as hell.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, it's right next to Tower Bridge. The poppies were on display. It was beautiful. But we started on a walking tour back by Parliament, which was cool. And then they took us on a boat up the River Thames. By the time we got to the Tower of London, everybody was just a little bit gassed. Mm-hmm. And there's so much to see at the tower because it is a compound of buildings. You almost like, by the time we saw like the outside of everything, we were like too tired to go inside.
Yeah.
We saw the crown jewels.
Crown jewels were there.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, it was neat.
A lot of history.
I would love to go there and just spend a day there and explore it. I think we just did it wrong that day.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and I just got off the phone with my buddy. He's going to London next year for the first time.
Yeah.
Same deal, right?
Do it when you're middle-aged. I'm telling you, you appreciate it more.
But, like, I was even telling him, I said, man, I'm like, we were there for a week, and I'm like, I don't even feel like we scratched the surface. I go, yeah, we knocked out the big touristy Buckingham Palace, Tower of London, Big Ben, Windsor Palace.
Which you have to take a train to. It's an actual, like, it's not in London.
Yeah,
it's in Windsor.
But, I mean, you know, like we did all that, but there's so much more. But it is...
I do recommend the Buckingham Palace tour, and I had a lot of people tell me not to. They're like, oh, it's touristy. And I'm like,
bro, it's Buckingham Palace.
It's Buckingham Palace. Like,
Buckingham Palace.
I thought it was a really cool tour.
It's like going to Washington, D.C., and you're like, oh, go to the White House, touristy.
It's
the fucking White House. It's the fucking White House. It's that's what it is.
Buckingham Palace was cool. I mean, it was just the history way overdone for the royal family. It's too many residences that are way overdone.
I mean, you did get a vibe at some of the big palaces, and I totally get it, and this is me using my, are you ready for this? Knowledge from the Crown.
Oh,
that's right.
We finished the Crown. We hadn't watched it since we moved here to Arizona.
Yeah,
we were one season before.
Yeah, we had the last season.
We finished it the week before we left for London because we figured it was appropriate.
We had to get in it. But you
what
know,
a great last season.
Based off my knowledge of everything from the Crown, but you did get the sense after a while, you're like, fuck, these are just some big ass old houses that they have to keep up. And if anyone knows anything about some big ass old houses, they're a pain in the ass to keep
up. Yeah.
Like, we all want to, like, this is my dream, right? There's old big mansions in Chicago, like on the deep south side. They call it Hyde Park. I think Obama has a house there. But they're these old mansions that you're like, oh, they're beautiful. They're big. They're a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
To like keep updated.
Well, they talked about that with Buckingham Palace. They're like, this one wing is closed right now because we're doing plumbing work because King Charles wants to make Buckingham Palace more green and less wasteful. But you know, when you do work like that in a place like Buckingham Palace, it is like total desecration. Like you have to rip down everything.
Ugh.
And it's just funny because I had just read a story that I think Prince William said he doesn't want to live at Buckingham Palace when he's king.
Does anyone live there?
Because it feels quote unquote old.
I couldn't live there. And I don't think I'd want to live there.
I walked through and I'm like, well, sure, it's old. It's Buckingham Palace. But I'm like, it didn't smell old. It didn't it was clean. It was incredible. I mean, that's a stature thing. I'm like, you don't want to live there for real. But yeah, so I guess the king is there. That's the thing. They all jump residences. He wasn't there the day we were there, but if the Union Jack.
Oh, boy, here she goes with
the Royal Standard Flag.
She knows all
the
shit.
If the Royal Standard Flag is lifted above Buckingham Palace, the king is there. But, yeah, the palaces were cool. I mean, some were definitely, like, Like Windsor Castle was akin to Buckingham Palace, just smaller.
Windsor was pretty cool.
You do get to, and no pictures in these places.
Yeah, you go on a lot of tours where they say you can't take pictures, which I'm sure pisses off a lot of people.
I don't really, you know what, I was a little sad, but now that I'm home, I'm like, don't feel like I missed pictures.
No, I mean, because you were in the moment, you know, and some of the spaces we were in were like churches and chapels and, you know.
And like, we went to St. George's Chapel at Windsor. We met a castle cat, by the way.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, AJ found the cat at
Windsor. He lives at Windsor Castle.
Yeah, he's just a fat cat too.
Yeah, he's well fed. He was very nice to me. Not so nice to the Japanese tourists behind me. There were two of us trying to get in line to like pet him. Very sweet to me.
The cat becomes like an attraction.
I know, he really was. And I'm like, I'm standing there petting him. I think he felt my vibe. We were all good. And then I walked away and I turned around and I see the Japanese tourist behind me that was waiting. He goes to pet this thing and that cat swats the shit out of his hand.
Get the fuck out of here.
But yeah, at Windsor, so yeah, you go in St. George's Chapel, which is where a bunch of royals get married and stuff. And you do get to walk past the tomb of Queen Elizabeth, Prince Philip, her parents. It's intense.
It's intense, yeah.
Like, it's beautiful. I mean, just everything was beautiful. We went to did a tour of Westminster Abbey.
Yes,
which I think might have been my favorite tour.
I thought that tickled your fancy.
Oh, it was
the most.
So cool because this tour,
it was
like
the hidden treasures.
Yeah, this tour takes you in the back parts of the church. Like, it's, you don't just walk through like the nave, you know, and like you walk through like the deanery. You get to see where they keep all like, you know, the robes and stuff.
I mean, for a kid who grew up as an altar boy, shocker.
It was very Catholic.
I'm like, oh, this is just the back. Okay, this is where the priests keep their stuff. Like I had seen all behind the scenes stuff working as an altar boy.
But there were a couple of rooms that had like history going back to like the 1200s. There were documents on display from the 10th century. Like, it was really cool. Yeah. That was my favorite. And the whole place, Windsor, I don't think Windsor was really like this. I don't remember. Westminster Abbey is just a giant cemetery. When I say there are people buried everywhere,
dead people everywhere,
there are dead people buried in the floor and everywhere. You cannot avoid it. You can't walk around it.
I ended up stepping on Charles Dickens.
You did? I know.
I was like, you wrote a fucking Christmas story. I'm sorry, buddy.
I did. I stepped on Dickens too, because I was looking at George Friedrich Handel's grave.
Christmas carols.
And, you know, Dickens is next to it. I'm like, oh shit, sorry, man.
Dickens.
But you just can't avoid it. I mean, and there are kings and queens entombed there. It was really cool. That was a neat tour.
It was,
I actually went back for a church service Friday night at the Abbey when these boys went to wrestling.
Yeah, I was going to say the other things that we did. Yeah, so besides the royal stuff, we did do wrestling. You brought it up, so I'll just go there. We went to an independent wrestling show, EVE. It's Eve Wrestling. It's a women's professional wrestling promotion out there in England. They used to have a pretty vibrant professional wrestling scene. Until the colonizers, known as the WWE, showed up there and they did like a WWE UK thing, and they basically fucking knocked out all the promotions.
Shocking.
Two of them survived. One's called Eve, other one's called Rev Pro, which is more mixed and male. But the Eve one is a little female wrestling promotion, and me and my son went to their Friday night show at a place called Big Penny Social. We had to take like three trains to get there.
It's out of the way.
Like, I mean, if everything we did was very touristy, you're like, oh yeah, Buckingham Palace. And I mean, even, and we'll get to this, the Oasis show at Wembley Stadium. Yes. I mean, this was the most like in the neighborhoods kind of place that we ended up at, because we were just rubbing elbows with like locals who got off work at 5 o'clock and now they're coming down to have a pint and watch girls beat the shit out of each other. But that was a really fun experience. I liked watching my son, because, you know, we watch pro wrestling here in Tucson, Arizona. I mean, literally the week before we went, me and him went to a local independent wrestling show here in Tucson. And the week before that, we went to a local independent show up in Phoenix. And watching my son learning that, you know, what bonds us, right? People's is people's. If I can use the phrase from the Muppets Take Manhattan.
Hell yeah, you can. People's is people's.
Because before I knew it, like, my son's fucking talking to a guy at Big Penny Social about wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, like we're sitting there watching wrestling. There's a guy behind him like, oi, hey, do. And then he's like, oh, yeah, me. Oi. And it's like, you know, people are people, dude.
Yeah.
And you have something in common. It doesn't matter who you are and where you're from. And if someone speaks a little bit different than you, you can all enjoy together.
Yeah.
It was really cool just kind of seeing something, you know, somewhere else. And of course, if we're going to talk about wrestling, we got to talk about Oasis.
Well, and I have to admit, I didn't go to wrestling.
She didn't. That's why she said she went to church. She went to fucking. She would rather go to church than go to professional wrestling. Well, mind you, two, three years ago, she was a wrestling fan.
I was a wrestling fan.
She had a 6-month window where she was in. Listen, she was dressing up. She knew the catchphrases.
Here's what happened. Hey, my dad died, and during that time, I lost interest, and I never got it back.
And then CM Punk fucking blew up his...
Yeah, goddammit, CM. I'm still mad at you. I'm still pissed. But yeah, he tells me they're going to wrestling. He's like, you should go with us. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but this time... I'm like, we are in London, England. There is too much for me to do.
But that's why I thought it'd be cool, because I'm like, it's a local, like, I know it's wrestling, but it's like, they're...
Well, I enjoyed it. I went to, like, a choral concert at Westminster Abbey, and then I also went to, after that, I went to St. Martin in the Fields, which is another historic church. Huge nerd. They recorded the soundtrack to Amadeus there, and I went there. I had wine in the beer garden. They have a beer garden behind the church, which was hilarious.
That sounds about as Catholic church as you can get. Now that's how I know the Church of England came from the Catholics.
Yeah.
Right there.
And then I went in and watched, you know, I think it was the Belmont Ensemble. Absolutely beautiful. But it was, yeah, we both did our different things on Friday night.
So we went to Oasis at Wembley Stadium, the Live 25 tour, which is... they're calling it the Eras Tour for old men.
It is.
They said, whatever Taylor Swift did last year with the Eras Tour, Oasis did this year with the Live 25
tour. Middle-aged men, yeah.
As far as melting down websites and selling out concerts, we were one of the few, the proud, the lucky, last year, and that's how much planning this took, to buy Oasis tickets, face value, from Ticketbastard.
We didn't even have dates planned for our trip yet. But once we were shocked we got these tickets. I mean, trust me, floored that we got these tickets.
I just thought for fun I would try to jump in the queue because, like, we were planning this trip to England and Ireland. And we just knew it had to happen during the summer. We said, oh, okay, it's going to happen after our son gets out of high school and before he goes to college. Somewhere in there we will go. And literally this Oasis thing last year pops up. And I go, well, you got to.
And I've been a big Oasis fan since high school.
Yeah.
I was one of those American kids who was like, I'll never see them because they never come to the U.S. So, you know, boo hoo.
So that pops up and we end up getting tickets to a Wembley show.
Which we are pretty sure because we had been watching the Oasis Reddit board all like for a week. And getting tickets seemed like an act of God. There were people who were like number 200,000 in the queue. We think that we got tickets because we were not on a British VPN.
I mean, we were using American internet.
Yeah, and right? we were not in a queue that long.
You know what it reminds me of? The old hustle, and it's gone now. Yeah, we used to do this in the late 90s, early 2000s. You would call Ticketmaster.
Yes, yes.
Remember, they would have tickets go on sale. Yep. You have to call. But we would call another state.
Yes, yep,
and
yep,
you would, and like you'd call, and they'd be like, hello, Ticketmaster. And you're like, yeah, hi, this is for Chicago. I need you to change your screen to Chicago. Yeah. Oh, okay, sir, sorry. We're in Iowa. You know? And then that's how we... So I felt like that's the advantage we got getting Oasis tickets. I was in the internet version of another state. And I somehow ended up, I shit you not, number 1,400.
That's crazy.
In the queue. I was number 1,400. And I was able to get two seats in the pitch.
No seats.
In the pitch.
There were no seats. We were in that sea of people you see right in front of the stage.
You know me, my size in concert tickets is general admission. That's what I wear.
It was a great place, though. It was a great place to be. This was like a, and I hate to use, it was biblical, man. Like, it was.
This is it.
Just getting off the tube and going to Wembley.
Holy shit.
It was like a nonstop sea of people that were just also damn joyful and so excited.
Right. Like, you felt like you were
You wanted to like skip to, because there's this big long like mall in front of Wembley, like this big thoroughfare, and you wanted to like skip to the stadium. You were so happy.
Yeah.
It was so neat.
A bajillion people. And all
those videos, again, you see on Instagram of the overseas Oasis shows, that's very much exactly what it looks like and feels like. It is that crowded and crazy.
I don't know how to tell you this, and I know, and I'm not shit-talking our own people. That's why I waited to say this so I'm back on U.S. soil. I'm not like the Dixie Chicks, right? I'll shit-talk us here to our face. I know they're coming to the States next week. It's not going to be the same.
No.
I'm sorry, New York, Chicago, LA.
There were...
You're not going to match whatever happened at any of the shows over there.
There were grown, middle-aged men with bucket hats that said cunt on them. Lots of that, by the way. Lots of that. Just bawling their eyes out. People, I mean...
Tears of joy!
Arms around each other. Everybody was, I was singing with people I don't know. People I was dancing every, with people I didn't
every
know.
Every fucking word to every song.
That was hard because I'm an Oasis fan and I didn't know the word to every song. And I felt like a squatter.
When AJ got, cause again, we're in that sea of people, which by the way, I know it looks intimidating and I shit you not. And myself and AJ have been in the middle of some big ass crowds, right? We've been to Bonnaroo. We've been to, you know, you name it, all the big festivals. And even like a week before, me and you were like, dude, these, like, I'm a little anxious about the shows.
Yeah, the crowds look crazy.
Like, we were looking at the shows that they had done in Cardiff and Manchester, and then they did the first Wembley one. And I'm like,
oh shit.
We're both like, holy fuck, how are we going to get through this? But
once you're in it, it doesn't, you don't feel it.
It is the most polite chaos.
Yeah.
The most warm chaos, right? Like everyone's in it together. And I know I'm talking Oasis, so it's not like a bunch of 19-year-olds who are there. I'm sure it's fucking nutty when it's someone else. But for this crowd, what I thought would be intimidating, it was like the most peaceful intimidation you could ever imagine.
One of the only drawbacks of the show, and I mean the only drawback of the show, is the sound was fucking terrible, man.
Terrible.
I told Pat, we
have acoustics down here in the U.S. Yeah, we're good at it.
It was like they just jacked the volume up as high as it could go and left it there. And I even told Pat, I'm like, I know the words to a lot of Oasis songs. It was so loud. I couldn't even hear myself think to sing along.
I mean, it was loud.
I missed some of the words to Wonderwall because it was so loud. I couldn't hear what they were singing. I didn't know what anybody was doing. Like, it's just.
Remember how loud it was when we walked in and Richard Ashcroft was the opener for the UK dates. He's the lead singer of The Verve. So it was, again, for me, that's another sprinkle of sugar. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I get to hear Bittersweet Symphony at fucking Wembley Stadium. God bless the Queen or the King. You know, when we walked into Richard Ashcroft, I'm like, oh, he's like, this is loud.
Yeah.
And if it's loud for him.
Oh God. Like for Bittersweet Symphony, the best sound of the entire night was doo 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 and then doo 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 doo. That's what it was like. It was just I couldn't even sing along with all the songs I knew because it was just your mind was like blown by the sound.
And I mean we were laughing too because of the same weekend you know the whole Dead 60th was going down in San Francisco, right? And so I turned to AJ and I go, listen, our little American asses have gotten so used to going to the Sphere in Vegas.
I know, with their amazing
with
sound.
With 7,000 speakers, each individually pointed at you. And here we are in a traditional setting where it's like, hey, look at the fucking stage. We're going to turn up the fucking 11, man. Have a good time. Like,
Supersonic was the one that really upset me because I love that song and I couldn't sing along to it because I didn't hear anything, but just it was like almost like a loud static. That's my only and when I say criticism of the show, there is no criticism. There is it was incredible. A couple of other things I did write down about London, because we were trying to write down stuff for the podcast. The no tipping thing will weird you out as an American.
Yeah, I love it.
It'll take you till probably the end of your trip to get rid of
it. It's the biggest fucking scam we've enacted on our people.
It will take you till the end of your trip to get used to it, and it still won't feel right that you're not tipping anybody.
I fucking hate coming back here now, and that everything is the plus tax. The two things, if I can bitch about two things. I loved that everything was just the fucking price.
Yeah.
The price was the price.
It's not brain surgery.
Right? That's what it is.
And they complain about that when Europeans come over here. They're like, why is it $1.99, but then it's $2.25 when I get to the cash register?
It's a fucking shell game here. Just fucking...
They walk
not over having a tip.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, they're taken care of. I'm like, listen, this person's paid appropriately. They live in England. So they have access to the NHS. They can go to the fucking doctor.
Well, did you notice?
You know, as opposed to now when I'm in America and I go to a restaurant and I got to look at the waitress and go, fuck, man, she's making like $2 an hour. And she's got three kids and no health care. I got to tip $20.
I know.
You know,
did you notice some of those restaurants, though, in London did have like a service fee on it? It was like £15.
Which you can have taken off, by the way.
Can you really?
You can ask them to take it off.
It's just so weird. And the other thing, like they don't just take your bill, take your card away from you. They walk over to your table with a little card reader. But yeah, it's just so bizarre. You're like, I want to tip you for your service, but like there's no option.
Do you remember where we first saw that?
Where?
Canada.
That's right.
We went to Niagara Falls.
That breakfast restaurant we went to.
We went to a breakfast restaurant. We said, oh, we'll pay. She goes, let me bring the thing here. I said, don't you just want to take my card? And she said, well, I would never just
take your card. They don't take your cards
there. Like, that's not kosher.
It's definitely something to get used to.
I love the fact that I could just pay for shit, and I knew the price. I love that I could just pay for food, and the person that was, like, you know, there wasn't some fucking, like, social status thing where I had to give them this pence for...
You felt like you were equals.
Like, we're equals, right? And, like...
Instead of feeling like when you go out to eat, like, you're all fancy and you're paying somebody who makes $2 an hour.
Like, and you know what's better too? I felt like the waiters were genuine.
They were.
We know.
Because they're not trying to work for a tip.
You got
to
put on the fucking show. You got to put on your server voice. We all, there. I mean, I felt like it was,
everybody was just cool.
Straight to straight. So there's my bitch. All right. There. There's my bitch. Like
there really are not public bathrooms.
Didn't our son get hit up for like a pound? Like
he did. He had to pay to use a bathroom. And that's the same for Ireland too. Like you cannot really just walk in anywhere and use a bathroom. Man. If you're going to a pub, like you really do got to buy a drink. I mean, there just aren't public bathrooms everywhere. Like there are here.
Are you shocked that we have, we figured out a long time ago, some guy goes, hold on, people need to park somewhere. I'm going to buy this plot of land and I'm going to charge people to park on this land.
Yeah.
No one has come up with a
charging for a bathroom.
Like a mega potty plex.
I know. So,
we should do that.
There are some places that do that for like nice potties.
We should do it
in Europe, not here.
Me and you should do that. Okay. Pat and AJ's potties.
I mean, there were points I would have paid to use a potty out there.
1 pound of poo.
A pound of poo.
A pound of poo.
The only other two things I had down.
What? Talk about.
I was very worried about what I was going to wear there because they make fun of American tourists
for being sloppy.
And they're right when they say this to a point. You know how we wear like leggings and like workout tops around to the growth? They don't do that there. In fact, there are signs in some of the restaurants that say no athletic wear. You can't walk in wearing leggings and your workout shirt, which. Once you get over that, it's pretty normal. Like I went over there and brought a bunch of summer dresses with some jackets to wear. Mm-hmm. That was my intent, and that got me through the whole week. Ireland, which we'll talk about later, was not quite as dressed up.
That's the next step.
But London was definitely. But But trust me, people
still... A little posh.
It's a little posh, but people still do wear whatever they want over there. Well, yeah, you can do whatever you want. It's not as bad as you think.
But as far as, yes, you're right. But if you're going to see someone like in shorts with like a Nike shirt on, probably...
You could pick out the Americans. It was easy. It was very easy.
That was probably kind of easy.
And then my final one, I don't know if you noticed this, but we have to talk about Heathrow for 1 second.
Go ahead.
Heathrow Airport.
Love you. Great airport.
And this is the same for Ireland, too, so we don't even have to talk about it. Dublin's airport and Heathrow both are basically gigantic shopping malls.
Oh, yeah.
You have to walk through the shopping mall to get to your gate. And I'm not talking, like, affordable shit. I'm talking, like, you know, Burberry and, you know, Rolex and shit. Like, you have to walk through
all
that.
They feed you through it first. I was shocked. Yeah, like...
The gates are after that.
They make you... It's kind of like when you go to Disneyland and...
exit through the gift shop. Yeah,
gift shop. Instead, here, they're like, we're going to push you through the gift shop first.
Yeah.
Like, first, you have to walk through this maze of really high-end shit and until you can get to your plane. I like London Heathrow, though.
No, I liked it, too. And one of the... Did you go to the bathroom at Heathrow at all?
Probably.
Okay. I feel like...
By the way, the bathrooms in Europe in general, I love them.
Yeah, listen, because the door goes down to the floor.
When you're in that potty, I feel like I could conduct business in there.
Oh, yeah.
I could have a meeting. I could live in there.
It is your space. And they... Europeans complain about that here too. They don't understand why you can see people's feet in the stalls in the bathrooms. Their doors go all the way to the floor. I mean, in some places, it is literally your own room. Like, this, it's not even a stall.
I felt like I could Airbnb it up.
Did you notice, and I feel like you would have remembered if you went to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point, my stomach just couldn't handle all the restaurant food anymore, and I spent a good portion of the time waiting for our flight in the Heathrow bathroom. Heathrow plays very classical music throughout the airport.
I heard that.
It was so odd because I went in the bathroom and it's like bustling. It's a women's bathroom. So people coming in and out, it's busy. People are being loud and shit and, you know, washing up. And then you get in the stall and you sit down and there's classical music playing.
You poop to a symphony.
There's like choir music playing. I was like, this is different.
That is why the posh English, right? We poop to...
Yes.
We poop to Mozart.
I did feel very proper while I pooped there. It was like a moment of zen. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I got to tell you, if I could bring back anything, I thought it would be socialized healthcare. But no, instead it would be the bathrooms.
They're
all
so clean, too. You know why? Because they don't have any public bathrooms. Yeah. That's why all the bathrooms are
very nice.
Clean.
And then you can go into the little room. I could do whatever I want in there. Could have used those in my 20s a lot more.
I straightened my hair in one of them. I was like, screw it, man. Nobody can see what I'm doing. I can be in here all day.
Shit, man.
And we also saw something really cool on our way out of Heathrow that we didn't see on the way in. There's one area of the airport, you know, with those moving walkways.
Yeah.
And there are actual human-sized cubbies in the wall for people to sit in, chill, sleep, whatever they want.
Yeah.
And honestly, if hadn't been people in them, I wouldn't have known what they were for. But there were people sitting in them, and I was like, oh shit, that's what it's meant for.
Yeah,
like,
little use of space.
Yeah, you can just sit in this little cubby. There's no cover or anything. It's like a big windowsill almost. But it was really neat. It was a great idea. We just kept thinking, like, people were sleeping, they were studying, they were just chilling. We're like, why don't more airports have areas like this?
And I suppose just to wrap it up on the transportation note.
Damn it, dude. The tube is awesome.
The tube.
We should all have a tube.
The underground, London Underground is proven. It can be done. It is clean. It is efficient.
It's fast.
It is fast.
I don't think we had any late trains at all.
We could get to anywhere. I mean, I'm talking from the airport to our hotel.
We didn't
have
a car in London.
Yep, from the hotel to wrestling, from the hotel to palaces, from the hotel to Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, we were able to get anywhere and everywhere because of that tube.
And then listen, we were totally intimidated by it at first. Everybody is. When you get on that tube from Heathrow to go, you're a little freaked out.
A little bit.
Once you start understanding the different lines and where they stop.
Yeah.
And it's really hard not to. There are actual like grids inside the train to show you where you're going.
I was going to say, it's very like, there's a lot of, how can I say? I feel like there's more directions.
There are.
And by the way, by directions, not where to. I mean, how to, like instructions.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, if you get off at the wrong stop, The next stop is you can just wait there for the next train, yeah. Or you can walk across the street to the a different line and take a different line somewhere. Like it was, we all had it figured out by the end of the week. In fact, by Friday, which was the end of our week in London, Pat and Dylan took multiple trains to get to Big Penny Social.
For wrestling. It was like three trains. Yeah.
I took one train to get to Westminster Abbey, and then I walked to St. Martin in the Fields. But when I left there, I took the Charing Cross station, and that was a different line.
Yeah.
And but I wasn't. I'm like, so what? If I? But none of us ever ended up in the wrong place.
No.
And trust me, once you leave that situation where you have that kind of amazing public transportation, you don't want anything else. You like, I want the tube everywhere all the time.
My son has had a hard on for public transportation since the first time I took him to Chicago.
Hell yeah.
And he saw like the L train and buses and taxis. He was like, this is it. Like he is all, and now we're back in Arizona where it's like, get in your fucking car and drive
45 minutes to get everywhere. Somewhere.
But I'm like, yeah, that is, I mean, I'm telling you, if you think you need.
Stay if you're going to go, stay by a tube station.
Stay central and just, you know.
You will not have. I mean, we had to take a taxi a couple of times, but that was just out of necessity.
But it's like
at the
part
moment.
Of the adventure is going on the tube because you get to like seriously, and we'll talk about this in a couple episodes later. AJ talking to people on the tube, people will.
Somebody encouraged me to kick somebody off the tube. I mean, it was great.
It was. I mean, it's. I would. It was just.
Every
man,
city should have one.
Everything was great. London, hats off to you.
Everybody was really nice.
I'm sorry. Apparently, our people were such pains in the asses that you had to throw them out of your country. They came here, and now we vacation back where you are.
They're very welcoming. If you're not an asshole, that's all you have to do is not be an asshole. It's really easy, actually.
Now, next time, we'll tell you about Ireland.
The Pat and AJ Podcast Network is available on all your favorite audio platforms. Subscribe today. Follow Pat and AJ on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook now at Pat and AJ. PatandAJ.com. Support the Pat and AJ Podcast Network today by donating on Venmo or Cash App. Powered by the people. The Pat and AJ Podcast.